All right, Chavosai, good morning. Good morning. Hope everybody had a beautiful and meaningful Shabbos, a great Sichos Simir Hashem to be able to begin another week of learning together. We have Mamish, a magnificent daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed. We are going to pick up at the Mishnah on Chav Tes Amud Beis, 29b. We begin by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Frank and Debbie Spector, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Joshos this month in deep gratitude for the entire Kehillah. Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating the Shiurim and Joshos this month in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zachariah, his mother, Sarah Bas Avram, and great-grandmother, Tzirel Bas Reb Dov. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Naftali and Bela Langer, for dedicating the Shiurim this week in the Zchus of the Fushlinger for Yisrael Zev ben Malka, Sarah Fega Bas Bela Susya. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of those who need a refuah should have one together with Kol Lechol Yisrael, the Neshamashav and Aliyah, and the families in Nechama. And Abose, with that, let us begin. Mamish, incredible Gemara today. So it says in the Mishnah, bottom of Chav Tes Amud Beis 29b, three lines up from the bottom. Hamechaber es haner mipnei shu misyarim min bibnei nochrim. So both say, what's going to happen over here is actually this Mishnah is introducing us to an incredibly important Yisod, which we'll begin this morning, only spend a few moments on it, and then in merits of the next couple of days, we'll loop back to it. So if one goes ahead and extinguishes a candle on Shabbos, so I have a ner, I have a candle that's lit, I extinguish it on Shabbos. Why? Because I'm afraid of Gentiles. Now Rashi points out over here, Kigon Parsim Shalem Yom Chag, Shemanichin Orb Elababes Avodas Elilim Shalahem. So apparently the Persians used to have some type of holiday where they would only allow the kindling of a candle in their house of worship, in their houses of worship. So ultimately, again, to go ahead and therefore can't kindle a fire outside of the house of worship was a severe transgression. So let's say one kindled the candle on Shabbos, and then he realized, ay vavai, it is the Yom Tov of the Persians. It is the Yom Tov of the Persians, and I accidentally lit a candle in my own home. One extinguished the candle in their house. Under those circumstances, or mipnei listim, or let's say again, one is concerned about robbers. So one wants to extinguish the candle so as not to give away his location. Mipnei ruach ra. This is very interesting. Rashi says ruach ra. Haba alav kushein ra noachlo. So we'll say ruach ra in this context sounds like depression. Let's say a person is suffering from depression, and so it makes him feel better just to be in the dark. So, or mipnei achola sheyishan, or one extinguishes the fire ultimately for an ill person, so that the ill person has the ability to sleep. Or kichas ala ner, kichas ala shemen, kichas ala psilo. Or one goes in and extinguishes a flame on Shabbos in order to go ahead and not ruin the ner. Ner in this context, I will say, refers to the receptacle that holds the oil and the wick. So one is concerned maybe something's going to happen to the receptacle. He extinguishes the flame in order that nothing should happen to the receptacle. Or one goes ahead and extinguishes the flame because he doesn't want it to consume any more of the oil, or he doesn't want it to consume any more of the wick. So we'll say in all of these cases, chayiv. Then I'll say, what I want to point out is something very interesting over here. If you notice again, the common denominator amongst all of these cases in the Mishnah, is this is called a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa, which means a malacha not done for the intended purpose, or a malacha not done for its primary purpose. Meaning, as we're going to see, that ultimately, the reason why one would do the malacha of havara, the reason why one would do the malacha of extinguishing, so we'll see there's a machlokes, but it could very well be that the reason you extinguish ultimately is because you want to make charcoal out of the wick. You want to make charcoal out of the thing that you're kindling. Again, we'll get back to that in a little bit. But if you notice, in all of these cases, you're extinguishing your fire because of some ulterior motive, some ulterior need, right? Again, I want the sick person to go ahead and go to sleep. I'm nervous about the Persians seeing me kindle a flame in my home on their day of worship, so on and so forth. So these are all cases, as we'll see, of what's called a malacha she'ina tzricha leguf. A malacha done not for its primary purpose. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, Chayiv, Rabbi Yossi poter b'kula. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're poter in all of these cases. Apparently, Rabbi Yossi holds that one is not chayiv for a malacha sheni tzricha legufa, chutz min ha-psila, except if one extinguished a fire in order to go ahead and conserve the wick. Why? Mipnei shu oseh pecham. Because you're saying when you go ahead and you extinguish the wick, you end up making charcoal. You end up making coal from that. And that ultimately is considered to be a malacha shetzricha lugufa. So just one word about this. And again, we'll come back to this later on in the Gemara. Gemara is going to take a beautiful agarata break for a little bit, which is going to be magnificent. But just understand what's unfolding over here. We're about to tread into a fundamental machlokis in Hilchos Shabbos about what happens when you do a malacha. You do the malacha, but you don't do it for the intended purpose of the malacha. Remember again, the malachos themselves, where do the 39 malachos come from? They come from the Mishkan. The juxtaposition of Shabbos to the Mishkan, anything that was done in the construction of the Mishkan or fabrication of the utensils, becomes a category of malacha on Shabbos. But it's not just that. It's that in order to be chayiv for a malacha, the question is it enough just to do the action, irrespective of what your intention is? Or is it that a malacha must be done for the same exact purpose in which it was done in the Mishkan? So we're going to see that's the machlokas that's playing out over here. Look at the Gemara, top of Lamed. Midiktani Seifa Chayiv. Then I will say, since, again, the end of the Mishnah, after listing all of these cases, said that you're Chayiv, Shma Min Rabbi Yehudahi. It must be that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Then I will say, now watch this. Now remember, in all of these cases, when the Mishnah says chayiv, we're assuming that the cases of the Mishnah is where a person did something b'shogeg. He did this accidentally. He didn't intentionally do the malacha. And therefore, chayiv in this context means chayiv achatos. Your chayiv is sin offering. Remember again, for Hilchos Shabbos, if you inadvertently transgress, you bring a chatos. Chas v'shalom, if a person intentionally transgresses, there could be a chayiv misa. So this, when we say chayiv means a chatos. Now we'll say, now interestingly enough, in all of these cases, it's clear that the reason you're extinguishing the fire is because of some external need. I don't want to get in trouble with the Gentiles. I want the sick person to sick. I'm suffering from depression. I just want to sit in the dark. So there's something else that's motivating me to do these things, yet I am still chayiv. What do you see from here? It must affect the view of Rabbi Yehuda. I will say, look at Rashi, a very important Rashi. Shema mina Rabbi Yehuda hi, da amar melocha shenetzricha lagufa chayiv alo. I will say, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we don't really care why you're doing what you're doing. The only thing we look at is what? What you are doing. If you perform an act that is a malacha, you will be chayiv for transgression on Shabbos. We don't really care what your motivation is. Whether your motivation was for the same type of motivation they had in the Mishkan, or your motivation is something else. It makes absolutely no difference. We don't look at what you think, but we look at what you do. So look at Rashi. Which means if you do a malacha, not for the intended purpose of the malacha, Rabbi Yehuda will still say that you're chayiv. Because remember again, the act of extinguishing, of extinguishing that are mentioned in the Mishnah, are not done for the real purpose of extinguishing. Ela kibui shal pechamen kisha osin oso. The kibui shal abov psila sha kibui nasa lahachiz ba'or mehera kisha yersa lahadliko. The chayvun Rabbi Yehuda here, we're going to come back to this point, but it appears that according to the Gemara, the definition of doing kibui for the intended purpose, this is quite fascinating, is the reason why people would extinguish a flame or extinguish a wick was in order to go ahead and have it kindle faster the next time you light it. So I'll tell you where this comes up. The truth is, there's a very important halacha. Although the custom is that women do have lakas neros at home, right? If a person is zochet to be married, so the wife or a person living at home with parents, so the mother, the wife, does have lakas neros. But there's a very important avoda that a man has. A man is supposed to light the wicks on Erev Shabbos and blow them out. Right, that's the avoda of a man on Erev Shabbos. Now, the reason for that is because, again, once the wicks have been lit once, apparently the Gemara says, they catch fire quicker a second time. So a man is obligated to make sure that the wicks are ready to be kindled immediately by his wife. So ultimately, Rabbi Yehuda says, the malacha tzricha legufa, the intended purpose of kivui, is to allow you to go ahead and light the wick better the next time. All of the cases in the Mishnah here, you're extinguishing a wick for some other purpose, right? All the different reasons mentioned in the Mishnah. So this is called imalacha shenet zvicha legufa. Yet, the Mishnah says that you're chayiv. The Bo says, we're going to see, this is a yisodistic machlokes in Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. Right? Rabbi Huda holds that you are chayiv for a malacha she'ina tzvicha legufa. Rabbi Huda holds that you're chayiv if you do a malacha, even not for the intended purpose of the malacha. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're only chayiv on Shabbos, not only if you do the malacha, but ultimately, again, only if you do the malacha for the intended purpose, for the primary purpose in which this type of malacha is done. Or I would say, to say it a little bit simpler, Rabbi Huda holds, we don't care what your intention is, we don't care what you think, we care what you do. So as long as you do the malacha, I don't care what the purpose of it was, you did it. Rabbi Shimon says, no, what you're thinking, what your intent is just as important as what you're doing. There's a lot of hashkafic debate in that also, which we'll come to a little bit later on. So in any event, back to the Gemara. So the Mishnah says the fact that the Gemara says the fact that the Mishnah says that Shechayiv in all of these cases listed in the Mishnah, it must be Rabbi Huda. Well, if that's the case, let's go back. Rishi b'mayaskinon. So we'll see, what's the case of the Rishi? Remember again, one of the examples in the beginning of the Mishnah was, if one goes ahead and extinguishes a flame for a chola. A person is ill, and a person extinguishes the flame for them. Now, I will say, so what exactly is that case? Says the Gemara, Ibochol Shiyesh Bo Sakana Mutter Miboile. I will say, if we're talking about extinguishing a flame for a Chol Shiyesh Bo Sakana, a person who is in a life and death situation, and they need, you have to extinguish it for whatever the reason, for their health, then that's not a Shaila. We'll say, that's Mutter. Forget about pot, forget about chayv, but that's mutter. So the Gemara says, v'iba chola she'en bo sakana, chayv chatas mi boile. And if the chola doesn't have sakana, so let's say someone's just not feeling well, and they would rather just have the lights off, so extinguishing the flame in that type of situation, you should be chayv for that. To which the Gemara says, you're right. The ola b'chol shiyesh bo sakana. In reality, what are we talking about in the Mishnah? The Mishnah's case of Osai, of where you extinguish the flame for a chola, is talking about a chola shiyesh bo sakana. A chola who's in a life and death situation. Aye, but if that's the case, ubedinhu, the lessening mutter. And the Mishnah really should have said that ultimately such a situation is mutter. It is absolutely unequivocally permitted to extinguish the flame ultimately again for a chola shiyesh bo sakana. Rabbi said you could do anything for a chola shiyesh bo sakana. Va'aydi deboi lemis nesefa chayiv. But again, since the end of the Mishnah was going to use the word chayiv, Tana Nami Resha Potter. So to preserve kind of Mishnaic symmetry, since the end of the Mishnah was going to use the word Chayiv, the beginning of the Mishnah used the word Potter. Okay, but it really means Mutter. V'haditani Raboshia im b'shvila chola sheyishan lo yichbe v'im kava Potter avalas. Or I, what about Raboshia's statement where he said that if you extinguish the flame for a chola for an ill person that, so that he could sleep, you ideally should not do that. But if you did so, it is Potter aval asr, which means it's asr midrabanon. Hahu becholah she'in bo sakana v'Rabbi Shimon. This would be referring ultimately again to a cholah who is not deathly ill, and this would reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds it for a mulacha shenetzricha legufa. If you go ahead and you perform a lacha not for its intended purpose, ultimately again, it is pater aval aser. It is aser midrabanan. So therefore, what the Mishnah just points out over here is, the Gemara points out, is that it appears that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you do a malacha, even for its unintended purpose, remember again, every malacha was done in the Mishkan for a particular purpose. Therefore, we assume that translates to Hilchos Shabbos as well. Well, that's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon will say, just like in the Mishnah, the malacha was done for a particular purpose, you're only chayav on Shabbos if you do the malacha for that same particular purpose. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, on Shabbos you're going to be chayiv for the malacha you do, irrespective of the reason you do it for. So the Gemara just points out, our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. We will see that halacha l'maisa, we'll have to see how we paskin. Good. So also listen to this beautiful Gemara. Sha'al she'ila zu le'ila mirabi tanchum demin navi. So we'll say they asked this question. They asked the question in front of Rabbi Tanchum from Navi. What was the question they asked him? Mahu lichbos botzina denura mikamei be'isha b'shabsa. What is the halacha in terms of going ahead and extinguishing a candle in front of a chola who is very ill. Rashi says, Be'isha means ra'abishta, someone who's in very bad shape. Now let's make the assumption over here that what they're asking him is, halacha lamaisa, are you allowed to go ahead and extinguish a fire, extinguish a candle, for a chola who is deathly ill? Deathly ill, sakonas nefashos. That was the shaila they asked him. And Rabbi said, now watch this. Va'amar, so we'll say, you're going to see something amazing. So Rabbi Tanchum does not give, he'll give the answer, we'll see an Amud Beis. The answer is given an Amud Beis. But before he gives the answer, he launches into a beautiful, beautiful agadic discussion. We will say this is magnificent Gemara. Va'amar, Rabbi Tanchum says as follows. And Shlomo, you Shlomo, Shlomo HaMelech, in chach maseich, on in such la sunaych, sorry, such la sunoseich. So Rabbi Tanchum kind of is like homiletically speaking to Shlomo HaMelech, where is your wisdom? Where is your wisdom? Where is your intellect? Lo dayecha shedvarecha sosrin divrei David avicha. It's not enough, Shlomo. Remember, Rabbi Tanchum is, you know, homiletically speaking to Shlomo HaMelech. It's not enough that your words contradict the words of David, your father. But Shlomo, your words, they contradict each other. Also, listen to this. David Avicha Amar, so David, your father, said, Lo hamisim yehaleluka. David HaMelech says, the dead cannot praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The dead can praise God. And yet, you Shlomo va'at amrit, v'shabeach ani es hamisim shekvar meisu. Yet you, Shlomo, say, I praise the dead for they have already died. So David makes it sound like the living are superior to the dead. Shlomo makes it sound like the dead are superior to the living. Furthermore, v'chazarta v'amarta, then you, Shlomo, went ahead and said, ki lekelev chai hu tov mina ariyamis. You also said that a living dog is better than a dead lion. Which sounds like, then it sounds like what? You're saying that the living are better than the dead. So what's going on over here, Shlomo? Lo kasha. When David HaMelech said that the dead cannot give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to how beautiful this is. Hachi kamar, li'olam yasok adam b'torah u'b'mitzos kodem shiyamos. We'll say, a person, while he's alive, should take full advantage of the opportunity to learn Torah and to perform mitzvos. Shekevan shemes, for once a person dies, batal min ha-Torah u'min ha-mitzvos. He loses out on the opportunity to learn Torah and to lose mitzvos. Ve'ein la'kodesh baruch hu shavach bo. And the Ribbono shel Olam receives no praise from such an individual. Rabbosai, do you hear this Gemara? The great gift of life is the ability to learn Torah and to do mitzvos. Every moment that you are alive, you have the ability to engage in dynamic spiritual activity. But once a person dies, it's over. The scariest part of death is not the cessation of life. The scariest part of death is the inability to learn Torah, is the inability to do mitzvahs. The Gemara says, "V'ha'vahin dam Rabbi Yochanan ma'idichsev b'meisim chavshin." What does it mean ultimately again that the dead are free? Kevan shemeis adam naseh chavshin min haTorah min haMitzvos. Once a person dies, he is freed. He is freed from his responsibility to Torah and to mitzvahs. So I will say ultimately again. So this is the idea when David HaMelech says, Lo amesim yahaluka. David HaMelech was saying, Rabbosai, such an incredible yisod. The scariest part of death is not the cessation of life. We know this because we believe in Olam Haba. So I believe in an afterlife. I believe in a Yom Shekula Shabbos and a beautiful world that awaits me. The scariest part of death, Rabbosai, is that once you die, it's like your assets are frozen. Whatever you've amassed for yourself in this world, that's what you have. And that's what you have for all eternity. You know, today, think about this. It's 8:18 in the morning. Today, we could learn as much Torah. We could do as many mitzvahs as we want and grow and accomplish and do everything. But once you die, that's it. It's all over. So the Gemara goes weiter. So then why does Shlomo HaMelech say, I praise the dead for they've already died? Which sounds like Shlomo HaMelech is saying that the dead are more powerful or are better than the living. So watch this. Shekishechati Yisrael b'midbar, when Klal Yisrael built the eagle, Amud Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu va'amar kama tfilos esachnun lefanav lo nana. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening and supplicating and pleading. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to forgive Klal Yisrael. O kisha amar, zechar li Avram li Yitzchok li Yisrael avadecha, miyad nana. And as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu brings up Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then suddenly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to forgive. So, Gemara says, "V'lo Yafar Amar Shlomo v'shaveach ani asamesim shekvar mesu." So does it not make sense when Shlomo Melech says, "I praise the dead who have already died"? Sibo says, "You see over here that in certain respects, sometimes the dead can be more powerful than the living." Right? So here, Moshe Rabbeinu tries to lobby God to forgive, yet God does not want to forgive. And it's only when Moshe Rabbeinu brings up the memory of the Avos, the memory of the patriarchs, that somehow we are forgiven. Davar Achar, another possibility is, Min Hagosh Narzavos, another possibility as to how the dead are more powerful than the living. Listen to this. Min Hagosh Shal Olam, Sar Basar Vadam Gozer. I will say the way the world works is as follows. If you have a human ruler who makes a decree, Gezeira Safek Mekaimenosa Safek E Mekaimenosa. So there's a Safek. Well, a human ruler makes a decree. Will his subjects listen or not listen? That's a Safek, right? Any time that a human ruler legislates something, maybe the followers, maybe the constituents will listen, maybe they won't. The intim silomar mekaiminosa, bechayiv mekaiminosa, bemoso in mekaiminosa. And I would say, even if the constituents follow the rulings of the ruler, so ultimately they'll often only follow it when he's alive. But once he dies, they will no longer feel bound to follow his rules and dictates. First wide line, Abbas and Lamed Amad Aleph. V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu Gazer Kama Gzeros V'tikin Kama Takanos V'kayomos Hini Olam. Yet, Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately again made some laws, made some Gzeros, and made some Takanos, and ultimately again, they still exist to this very day. Now, of course, when we look at this, so we think about the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who gave us Torah. So obviously, Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who gave it to us, and yet we still fulfill it to this day. Now, Rashi points out that it refers to other things also. V'tikin kama takanos, Rashi says, ki ahi detani b'megillah, Moshe tikin lehem li'Yisrael shi'u sholni b'darsh m'yono shalyom. So we'll say, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, gave us two interesting decrees. Number one is that we should learn about the halachos of a particular yomtiv on that yomtiv, and also sholin v'darshin binyano shel chag shloshim yom kodem achag. The idea being that 30 days before any yomtiv, we learn about the halachos of that yomtiv. These concepts came from Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet again we still observe them to this day. So to a certain respect, sometimes the dead, this is what Shlomo Melech is saying, sometimes the dead have even more power than the living. When a ruler is living, maybe they will listen, maybe his constituents will listen, maybe they won't. When he's dead, it's almost certain they won't. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu died so many thousands of years ago, and we still heed his rulings to this very day. Incredible. Another possibility is, what does Shlomo Melech said, I praise the dead? Well, it's so beautiful. This is an incredible, incredible Gemara. Kid Rav Yehuda Marav, Tam Rav Yehuda Marav, Mai Dichsiv, Asei Imi Os Letova. Rabbi says, what's the meaning of the pasuk when David HaMelech says in Tehillim, he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says to God, Asei Imi Os Letova, God, give me a sign for the good. Right? Literally, perform with me, Os, a sign for the good. What was David HaMelech asking? So we'll say, and there, v'yiru sonai v'yevoshu. So perform for me a sign for the good, and my enemies will see it, and they will be embarrassed. What is David HaMelech referring to over here? Says the Gemara, Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, macholi al osa oven. David HaMelech was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, please forgive me for the sin of Bathsheba. Forgive me for the episode of Bathsheba. Amar lo, God says to David, Machalacha, you are forgiven. And Rebbe said, David HaMelech really models for us the incredible paradigm of tshuva. When David HaMelech is confronted by the wrongness of his deeds, so he goes ahead and he owns it immediately. He apologizes for it. He does tshuva for it. And Rebbe said, sometimes the difficult part in tshuva is even once we're confronted with what we've done, we like to often deflect responsibility. David HaMelech is the paradigmatic example of the Baal Tshuva. He's confronted with what he did. There's like a moment of contemplation, and he says, Chatasi LaHashem. It's an incredible moment of ownership over a mistake. Immediate ownership over a mistake, and then trying to figure out what can I do to fix it. So David HaMelech says, God, I want to know that you forgave me. I'm trying my best, but I want to know that you forgave me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Macha Lecha, I promise you, I've forgiven you. Amar lo, I say, imi os b'chayai. So David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, I believe you, I believe your words, but I need a sign. See, Rabbi, so you have to understand something. David HaMelech suffered for the rest of his life because of the episode with Bathsheba. It forever colored and tarnished his reputation in the eyes of many, to the point that we'll see the Gemara talks about the idea that David HaMelech was constantly taunted by those who oppressed him because of this episode. So here David HaMelech is living with the knowledge he made a mistake, he did tshuva, he was forgiven by the Ribbono Shel Olam, yet people don't really believe that he was forgiven. They don't really believe that he was forgiven. So David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you give me a sign? Can you give me a public sign of your forgiveness? So Amar lo, b'chayecha eini modia, b'chaye Shlomo bincha eini modia. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, David, during your lifetime, I'm not going to give a sign, but I'll give a sign during the days of your son Shlomo. Well, said so this by itself is so incredibly profound. Right? You wonder, why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give David HaMelech a sign? Here, God's saying to him, I forgave you. Right, God's telling him, you're forgiven. So David HaMelech says, okay, thank you. Can you show the populace that I've been forgiven? And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, doesn't want to give that sign during David HaMelech's life. He wanted to give it during Shlomo. So Rabbi said, you're going to see why. See, when you hear this, it sounds like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you doing this? Why don't you just give him the sign now? You're going to see, because by waiting to give that sign of divine forgiveness, the divine forgiveness of David HaMelech is even more absolute. Watch this story. So the Gemara says, Kishabana Shlomo Space Hamikdash, Bikesh Lahachnis Aron Beis Kodshi HaKadoshim. Listen to this story. Shlomo David's son, built the Beis Hamikdash. So we'll say, you have to imagine this scene. So the Beis HaMikdash is built. The whole people, everybody, it's days and days of celebration. They're coming with Shlomo to the Beis HaMikdash. They get to the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, the gates to the Har HaBayis, or the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. And what happens? The gates won't open. They invested probably what at least historically was the equivalent of millions of dollars in the construction of this Beis HaMikdash. Today is the day of consecration, incredible days of celebration, and yet the gates won't open. So Bikish, so what happened? So Amr Shlomo, Esim V'Abar Anonus Lo Nana. Shlomo Davins, 24 supplications, and the gates still won't open. So Pasach V'Amar Su'u She'arim Rashechem, V'Naschu Pischei Olam, V'Yavo Melech HaKavit. So literally again, he says, O gates, lift up your heads. Right, Vinasu Pisre Olam, open up the gates to eternity. Viyavo Melech HaKavod, let the King of Glory come in. So we'll say, watch this. Now, Ratu Basrei LeMivalei. So whatever this means, but the gates got angry at Shlomo, and they were ready to swallow him up. Now the gates thought that when Shlomo Melech said Viyavo Melech HaKavod, that Shlomo is referring to himself. Let the King of Glory in. So the gates were overwhelmed by this show of arrogance. So they were ready to go ahead and destroy Shlomo. Amru, mi hu ze melech hakavod? And the gates were yelling at Shlomo, who is this King of Glory that you refer to yourself as? So Shlomo says, no. Amru lohu, Hashem izuz the gibor. No, the King of Glory that I refer to is not me. The King of Glory I refer to is the Ribono Shel Olam. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this Beis HaMikdash. Open the gates so that the Ribono Shel Olam could come in. Chazar va'amar, therefore Shlomo HaMelech said again, Su'u Sh'ar Moshechem U'su Pischei Olam, V'yavo Melech HaKavod. Gates, lift up your heads, open up, and allow in the King of Glory. Mi hu ze melech hakavod, and who is the King of Glory? Hashem Tzevakos, hu melech hakavod selah. And the King of Glory to which I refer, says Shlomo, is none other than the Ribono Shel Olam, the Lo Nana. And Abbo said, despite even invoking the name of God, allow God into the Beis HaMikdash, the gates will not open. Kevan Sha'amar, Hashem Elokim, Al Toshev Pnei Mishichecha, Zochra lechaste David avdecha. But I will say, watch this. The moment that Shlomo HaMelech invokes the memory of his father, the moment that he says, "Don't forget your servant David, miyadnan." Sirabos, you have to understand what just happened over here. The entire nation is assembled for the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo says, open up. The gates won't open up. He doesn't invoke his own kavod, but rather he invokes the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Open up for the kavod of the Ribono Shel Olam, and the gates won't open. Open up in the merit of my father. Open up in the merit of David HaMelech. In that moment, the gates opened. So we'll say the gates of Beis HaMikdash only opened in the merit of David HaMelech. So in that moment, Ba'osa Shah, Nepchu Pnei Kosoni David Kishule Kedera. We'll say in that moment, the enemies of David, those people who had made David's life miserable all of those years by calling him a sinner, those people who had literally afflicted him and tormented him, their faces became blackened like the bottom of a pot. In other words, they themselves were humiliated and embarrassed. The Yodu Kol Am, the Chol Yisrael, Shemachalu Akadosh Baruch Hu Al Osa Oven. Ultimately, in that moment, everyone knew that Akadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven David HaMelech for the episode with Bathsheba. V'lo Yafa Amar Shlomo V'shabeach Ani Asameisim Shekvar Mesu. And ultimately, again, does it not make sense now what David HaMelech says? I praise the dead who have already died. So we'll say you begin to see also how the Ribono Shel Olam didn't give David that sign of forgiveness during his lifetime. Because it will say, he said to David, if you just wait a little bit, I'll give you something even greater. That the gates of the Beis HaMikdash only opened up in the merit of David HaMelech. That sign of forgiveness, although it took place after David HaMelech was no longer in this world, he had already passed away, but it was such a dramatic and magnificent show of forgiveness that the gates of the Beis HaMikdash only opened for David HaMelech. And Rabbi Osei, it teaches us an incredible lesson. The lesson it teaches us is that sometimes there are things that we want so badly out of life, that we want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't get them. Because Rabbi Osei, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us things when we want them, because he wants to give us something even greater at a later time. You see, we only see things in the here and now. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is past, present, and future. Haya, Hove, V'yeh, all rolled into one divine entity. So sometimes there are things that we plead for right now. We can't understand it. Why doesn't God give it to me? Just like David HaMelech. Here, you told me you forgave me. So why don't you just give me this sign right now? Be it HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because if I give it to you later, it'll be so much more meaningful. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds things back from us, not because he doesn't love us, not because he doesn't care for us, but by giving it to us at a later time. Maybe that later time is later in our lifetimes, and maybe that later time is even after we've left this world. But sometimes the bracha that he gives us later on is so much greater than any bracha he could give us in the present. An incredible emunah, incredible sense, incredible yisod in our emunah Hashem. So the Gemara goes on. V'hainu d'chsiv. Rabbi said once the Gemara brought up this episode of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says by that dedication, v'hainu d'chsiv b'yom hashmini shalach es ha'am v'yivarchu es ha'melech v'yelchu li ohalehem smichim v'tovi leiv akolatova asher asa Hashem l'David avdo Oli Yisrael Amo. But say the Pasuk says on the eighth day of celebration, Shlomo Melech sent everyone home. The people blessed the king. That's a reference to Shlomo. They went to their tents happy and glad of heart for all of the good that Hashem did for David his servant and for Yisrael his people. So we'll say, so you see over here that this episode of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash ultimately was viewed as something that God did for David. What did God do for David? That this was finally the moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated that he forgave David HaMelech, and he showed this in a very public fashion. So the Gemara now darshins the pasuk, "Vayelchu lo aleim." What does it mean? They went to their tents. Shematzu nishoseim betara. They found that their wives were tohoros. Their wives were not nidos. Smechim. They were happy. Shenenu miziv hashchino. Ultimately, again, that they had the great privilege to benefit from the divine presence. V'tovei lev, gladness of heart. Shenis abru nishosein shakol echad ve'echad v'yalda zachar. That everyone who was with his wife, the wife became pregnant and ultimately again gave birth to boys. Al kol atova asher asa Hashem l'David avdo l'Yisrael amo. L'David avdo shemachalo akol osa oven. So again, ultimately the good that was done for David is that David HaMelech was forgiven in a public fashion for Bathsheba, Oli Yisrael Amo, Da'och Eluhu Avon D'Yom Kippurim. So I will say, this is an incredible historical footnote. The Gemara Maseches Moed Katan discusses this idea that there were 8 days of celebration. There are 8 days of celebration when they consecrated the Beis HaMikdash. On day number 8, the Beis HaMikdash itself was opened. The 7 days of celebration also spanned over Yom Kippur. And I will say, that year of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, they ate on Yom Kippur. So acute was the joy of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash that they mamish ate on Yom Kippur. So the pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it's okay, I'm happy that you ate on Yom Kippur that year for dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. Quite beautiful. V'tika amar Shlomo, ki lekelev chayu tov min ha'ari ha'me. It's supposed to say, now we're going back. Remember, when Shlomo HaMelech says, remember, this is all, supposed to just understand, this is all about Rabbi Tanchum telling us that Shlomo HaMelech contradicted his father and contradicted himself. So we're trying to now work out those contradictions. So when Shlomo says that a living dog is better than a dead lion, what does that refer to? We'll say, watch this Gemara. So we'll say, what's the meaning of this passage where David HaMelech says, Hodi'eni Hashem kitzi, Umidas yomai mahi, eda machadal ani. So we'll say, what does this mean? Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, hodi'eni Hashem kitzai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me ultimately again everything that is going to happen to me in the future. Now, specifically what David HaMelech was asking was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me when I'm going to die. In what point in the future am I going to die? So the Gemara says, Umidas yomai mahi, I'm sorry, Amar lo. So David, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Gzerihi milafanai, shemodi and kito shel basar v'dam." Right. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I don't do that. I don't tell people when they're going to die." Right. Not a good idea. We'll say part of. Remember again. Think about this. If every one of us, if a person knew when he was going to die, so okay, I know I have 120 years. So what greater lack of motivation to maximize the day than knowing how long you're going to live? And we'll say, right. So many of us sleep in. Right? We sleep in as it is. Right? As it is. I don't mean just sleeping later. I mean like, we just sleep in life in general. And that's without knowing. That's without knowing how much time I have on this earth. Can you imagine if we actually knew how much time we had on this earth? How much more we would sleep in? So the Talmud says, fine. Umidas yamai mahi. So tell me midas yamai. So fine. Don't tell me when I'm going to die, but tell me just approximately how much time I have on this earth. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Gzeri milifnei she'emodia midas yamav shel adam. So again, David HaMelech is just trying to figure out how much time he has on this earth. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to tell you. So fine. Ve'eda machadal ani. So David HaMelech says, fine. At least tell me what day of the week am I going to die? All right, see, you're not going to tell me the length of my years. You're not going to give me a ballpark figure. But can you at least tell me what day of the week I'm going to die? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, fine. That I'll do. Amar lo, b'Shabbos Tomos. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, David, you're going to die. We'll say this is a remarkable Gemara. You're going to die on a Shabbos. You die on a Shabbos. David says, I don't like that. Amos be'echad b'Shabbos. I'll give you a Sunday instead, right? I don't want to die on Shabbos. Remember, we'll say David Malach doesn't want to die on Shabbos because he's concerned that if he dies on Shabbos, then at the end of the day, people, first of all, again, on Shabbos, a corpse is muktzah. So again, it's going to be difficult. It's going to ruin people's simcha Shabbos. So let me just die on Sunday. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. After all, again, the Gemara says, Amar lo kivar higia malchus shlomo bincha, ve malchus nogas bechaver tafila kimalinima. You can't die on a Sunday, because already on that Sunday is the time for your son Shlomo to reign, and one reign cannot overlap with another reign, even a hair's breadth. So you can't die on Sunday. So the Gemara says, Amos be'erev Shabbos, that's fine, let me die on a Friday. Let me die on a Friday. I'll give up one day of life in order not to have to die on a Shabbos. I'm supposed to say, listen to this divine response. Amar lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David, I'm sorry, I can't accommodate that request. Why? Ki tov yom bechatzirecha me'elef. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, literally again, one day of your life in my courtyard is better than 1,000. What does that mean? Tovli yom echad sha'ata yoshev ba'osek batorah me'elef olos sha'asid shlomo bincha lahakriv lefane al gabi hamizbeach. Rabbi said, do you hear this statement? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, one day of your life in this world is better for me than the thousands, the tens of thousands of offerings that your son Shlomo is going to go ahead and offer up on the Mizbeach. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, David, I'm not going to take you one day. I want to take something amazing. The Marashah points out, the Baal Shem Tov also brings down this issue. This is not just a din by David. This is not a din by David. This is a din by everyone. One day of life is more important than all of the hundreds of thousands of karbanos that will be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The power of one day. Mostly this goes back to the Gemara that we saw before. Ultimately, again, where Shlomo HaMelech says, this same David, the dead can't praise you. What does that mean? Because the dead are free. The dead have no Torah. The dead have no mitzvos. One day of life. I will say, if we only internalized this lesson, how much more impactful and meaningful our lives would be. We let days flow through our fingers like water. We let days just pass us by without maximizing. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David, you say you want to die on a Friday instead of a Shabbos. Do you know what one day is? One day of actualized life, one day of impactful life is more important to me than the hundreds of thousands of karbanos that your son Shlomo will bring. And we'll say that's the power of a day. That's the power of a day. Every day contains infinite possibilities. Every day contains infinite potential. It's just our job to actualize it. So we'll say, watch this. Amadeus. Now watch this. Now David HaMelech knows that he's going to die on a Shabbos. That's what he knows. So kol yom ad Shabbos ha'havi yaseh v'garis kol yom. So we'll say, therefore David HaMelech, every single Shabbos, would sit and learn the entire day. Because David HaMelech knew that as long as he's sitting and learning the Malach HaMaves, the angel of death has no power over him. So he would sit and he would learn the entire Shabbos. So watch this. Hahu yoma debayla menech nafshei. So we'll say now the Shabbos finally came along. When the Malach HaMaves had his job was to now take David HaMelech's neshama. Kam Malach HaMaves kamei v'lo yochelei. A problem. The Malach HaMaves could not take David HaMelech's soul. Right? Why not? Because David HaMelech was always learning. We'll say, do you hear the power of Torah? The power of Torah? The Malach HaMaves has no control over you. So the Malach HaMaves is faced with a major problem. It's time for him to take David HaMelech's soul, but he can't because David is learning. So Amar Ma'i Avidlein, so the Malach HaMaves says, no, what should I do? So I'll say, watch this. Havolei Bustana Achorei Beis HaDar HaMelech had an orchard behind his house. Asa Malach HaMaves Solek Ubachesh Bi'ilonei. So what happens? I'll say the Malach HaMaves goes out to the orchard. He goes up into a tree and he begins to shake the branches to make noise. So he figures to himself that the noise is gonna distract David HaMelech, and he'll be able to take his soul. Nafik lemechze. So I say, David HaMelech gets up from his learning, and he goes out to see what's going on in the orchard. Havasalik bedarga. As David HaMelech is walking up the stairs or down the stairs, right? It's really up the stairs. If chistarga mituse, the stair apparently again broke underneath his foot. It gave way underneath his foot. Ishtik. In that moment, he stopped learning b'nach nafshe, and he died. And I want to show you something amazing about this Gemara. You see, when you read this Gemara, you think the Malach HaMaves goes ahead and shakes the branches. David hears what's going on, and he goes to check on it. So you would think that in that moment, that was the distraction. But you see that what? Even when David HaMelech walked away from his sefer, and he's going to check on what's going on in the tree, he's still learning. The lapse in learning doesn't come when he gets up from his sefer. The lapse in learning comes where? When the stair gives out from under him, startles him for a moment. In that moment when he's startled, that's the moment that he stops. And we'll say, what do you see? You're an incredible yisod. You see, we often think that when are we learning? When is a Jew learning? Now. I'm in front of my Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Now I'm learning. But in a few minutes, so now I'm going to close my Gemara. I'm not going to be learning. That's not the vart. The vart in life is I always have to be learning. Whether I'm in front of my sefer or not in front of my sefer, what do I think about throughout the day? What's on my mind throughout the day? What do I dwell on throughout the day? Are the thoughts of Torah coursing through my mind just when I'm in front of the text? Or does the text fill me with inspiration so that even when I close the Gemara, the thoughts of Torah still coursing through my mind, coursing through my soul? That's the goal. The greatness of David HaMelech, Rabbi Osai, is that he was engaged with Torah even when he wasn't in front of the Sefer. See, even as he's walking up to see what's going on in the orchard, he's still thinking Torah. It's only that moment when he becomes startled because the stair gave way under him. That's the moment the Malach HaMavis gets him. And I will say, it's in that moment that David HaMelech dies. So what happens? Shalach Shlomo Lebe Mizrasha. So remember, I will say, it's Shabbos. And again, Baruch Dayana Emes, David HaMelech passed away. Shlomo HaMelech sends a Shaila to the Beis Medrash. Abba Meis, Umutal Bechamo. I have two problems. My father died, and apparently, and remember, his body's on the staircase. Mutal Bechamo means he's outside. Right? He's just laying there. So Uklavim Shabbos Abba Re'evim. And furthermore, the dogs of my father's home are hungry. The Rabbi said, now, these are two shilas. Number one, what should I do about the body of my father? And number two, what do I do about feeding the dogs? So the Gemara says, so ma'ase shochule chatoch nevela b'hanach lefnei kalavim. So for the dogs, just take a nevela. Just go ahead and cut up a dead animal. So we'll say, Shlomo HaMelech was ultimately asking over here, halacha l'maisa, how do I feed the dogs on Shabbos? If I didn't have food set aside, could I take any piece of meat and give it to them or not? So they said to him, it's okay, just take an avila, take a carcass and give it to the dogs. Va'avichan, for your father, hanach alav kikar otinok v'tiltolo. But for your father, we'll say, a corpse is muktza. The only way to move a corpse on Shabbos is to put something non-muktza on top of the corpse. And essentially, by your permission is to move the non-muktza item and the corpse along with it. So either put a loaf of bread or put a baby on top of your father's body. And again, you're permitted to move the body in that way. So we'll say, in that moment, Shlomo HaMelech said, Ki lakelev chai hu tov mina arye hames. We'll say, it's in that moment that Shlomo HaMelech said that a living dog, right, is more chashev than a dead lion. The dead lion, I will say, was a reference to David HaMelech. So the body of the great lion could not be moved directly. The dogs could be fed directly, right? The living dog could be taken care of directly. Just throw some meat and you could take care of the dog. But the dead lion could not be moved without the loaf of bread or the baby being placed on top of him. That's what Shlomo HaMelech saw. I will say, even the great David HaMelech, when the lion is dead, to a certain degree, he's less important than ultimately, again, the living dog. Well, say an incredible, incredible Musar, which ultimately, again, is you begin to see that all of these teachings kind of flow into each other. David HaMelech himself became acutely aware that the living Shabeach Aniyasam, right? V'shabeach Aniyasam, excuse me. That again, although the dead have certain powers to intervene on behalf of the living, as we saw by the Chet HaEgel, I will say, the power of life, nothing compares to it. The power of life. Shlomo HaMelech says the power of life is so strong that there comes a point in time where even the living dog is more chashev than the dead lion. Because even the living dog could be fed outright. But yet to move the dead lion, to move the body of David HaMelech requires a halachic workaround. Incredible. So the Gemara Sula, Inyan Shela, the Shulam HaKamech, I'm supposed to say, by the way, remember, how did this whole thing start? Remember, they came to Rabbi Tanchum, and they asked Rabbi Tanchum a Shaila. What was the Shaila? Can you extinguish a fire in front of someone who is ill? Right? Now, I'll say, we're going to see really the question was in terms of someone who was deathly ill, Sakanas Nefashis. So it says, Rabbi Tanchum gives a whole drasha. Now he comes back, and by the way, the shaila that you asked us, Ule Inyan Shaila de Sha'ilma Kanechun, and that shaila that you asked us, Rabbi Zirashi points out over here, Rabbi Tanchum says, the shaila you asked us. Now they didn't ask us, they asked Rabbi Tanchum. But as a show of humility, he didn't say, the shaila you asked me. Rather, he said, the shaila you asked us, that shaila you asked me, Ner Karuya Ner. So we'll say ultimately again, a candle is called a candle, but the neshama of man is also called a candle. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam, Rashi points out. Mutav techabe ner shabasav Adam mipnei ner shalakodish baruch. It is appropriate to go ahead and extinguish a candle made by man in order to preserve the candle made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The candle made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is a reference to us. So better to go ahead and extinguish a man-made candle to preserve the divine candle. So in other words, better to extinguish a man-made candle to preserve life. So therefore, Rabbi Tanchum says, yes, you can extinguish a candle if there is sakanas nefashos. So Rabbi Sein Rashi points out over here, Mutov techabenero, lav mehacha yolov chilo Shabbos de bikuach nefesh. I'm sorry, lav mehacha yolov, because chilo Shabbos de bikuach nefesh nafgalon mevechai bohem velo sheyamos bohem. Remember again, the concept that you could be Mechal Shabbos to go ahead and save a life is not gleaned from a beautiful homiletic statement, that it is better to go ahead and extinguish a candle made by man in order to preserve a candle made by God. That's a beautiful sentiment, but that's not a halachic statement. The halacha Rabbo said that you could be Mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, for saving a life, is based on the concept of v'chai bohem. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to go ahead and live through His Torah, live through His mitzvot, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu would rather us be Mechal one Shabbos, in order that a person could live to celebrate many Shabbosos. So why does Rabbi Tanchum give this answer? Rabbi Tanchum, look what Rashi says so beautifully. Rashi says, Rabbi Tanchum wanted to give a homiletic answer, but Divrei Agada, Hamosheches Esalev, because why? Shayu Boim Lishmo Hadrasha Nashim V'Ami Ha'aretz, V'Atzichin Hadashon Limshoches Levalon. Because they'll say, a lot of times, uneducated people came to hear the drasha. So both sides, you had Amaratzim, who were uneducated people, and Nashim, women. Remember, again, times in the Gemara, women did not receive a formal education. So the Darshan often had to say things in a more emotional, gripping way, so that it would speak more to the audience. So Rabbi Tanchum was giving a drasha. There are many uneducated people there. He wasn't going to start getting into a drasha of v'chai bohem. Chazal Baruch Hu wants us to live through his mitzvahs, and that's the heter ultimately, again, to be mechalo Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. So instead, what does he say? It is better to extinguish the man-made candle so that you could preserve the God-made candle. So again, that's not the source of the halacha. The source of the halacha ultimately is v'chai bohem. But Rabbi Tanchum giving a beautiful homiletic exposition. Beautiful. But so we go right there. Incredible Gemaras. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Breit Rabbi Shosei. So now, once kind of Rabbi Tanchum got us into the topic of contradictions, we're going to show other places where there are contradictions that confounded Chazal a bit. Rav Yehuda Breit Rav Shmuel Bar Shilos Mishvei Derav Bikshu Chachamim Lignos Sefer HaKalos and Yishadvarim Solsun Zelza. The rabbis wanted to hide away the book of Koheles. Why? Because Koheles has psukim that contradict each other. And Chazal were concerned, as much as Chazal felt that Shlomo certainly had a logic, but they were concerned that people are going to read this, they're going to see contradictions, and they're going to be put off by the contradictions. So says the Gemara, however, Umipnei malo ganzuo. So why didn't they hide it away? Bipnei shetchilas of divrei Torah, v'sefer divrei Torah. Because the beginning of Koheles is Torah, and the end of the Koheles is Torah. How so? Tchilas of divrei Torah d'chsiv, ma'yison l'adam b'chol amalo sheyamol tachas ha-shemesh. Shlomo HaMelech says, what gain is there for man in all of the effort that he exists underneath the sun? And I will say, watch this. So we'll say, there's no gain in that which you toil in under the sun. However, but if you toil in that which existed before the sun, you say to yourself, what existed before the sun? Torah. Torah existed before the sun. So if a person exerts himself, to exert yourself in stuff that came after the sun, that often is an exercise in futility. But to exert yourself in that which came before the sun, i.e. Torah, that has incredible gain. Sof Divrei Torah, the end of Koheles also alludes to the power of Torah. How so? D'chsiv, sof davar akol nishma, es halokim yira, v'es mitzosav shemar, ki zeh kol ha'adam. So what the Shlomo Melech says, at the end of the day, all is heard. Fear God and His mitzvos keep, for this is the totality of man. Ma'i kizek kol adam. But I'll say, what does it mean that this is the totality of man? That I will say, when a person learns Torah and a person heeds the word of God and a person performs mitzvos, literally it is as if the entire world was created for him. But that the entire world was created to be a platform for the spiritual actualization. So that's when a person goes ahead and heeds the word of God, performs mitzvos, learns Torah, he's giving meaning and purpose to all of creation. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Amar, Shakul Zeh Keneged Kol HaOlam. When a person goes in and heeds the word of God, performs mitzvos, learns Torah, he is equal, he is just as important as the rest of the world. Shimon ben Azai Omer, Va'amr Dei Shimon ben Zoma Omer, Lo Nivra Kol HaOlam Kulo, Ela Letzavas Lezeh. So when a person goes ahead and heeds the word of God, performs mitzvos, learns Torah, the entire world was created as an accompaniment to him. So we'll say these are different ways. Accompaniment means, we'll say, why was the world created? Why was the world created? The world is a great stage, is a great platform, is a great foundation for spiritual actualization. So when I use this world for spiritual actualization, so the world becomes my partner, my accompaniment. I'm as great as the world. The world was created for me. All of these different things. The world was created, the Gashmius of Olam Hazeh was created to enable Ruchni actualization. So when a person spiritually actualizes, the entire world has meaning. He gives meaning to the world. The world becomes his accompaniment. He's shuckle, right? He's as important as the rest of the world. The world was only created for him. So the Gemara goes weiter. Umay dvar sofsin zeh. So ultimately, again, what does it mean in Koheles? That the words of Koheles contradict each other. We'll say first, end of the first wide line, Lamin Amud Beis 30b. Because Rosh Hashanah, I'll say, Ksiv, Tov kas mischok. Anger is better than laughter. So we'll say, Shlomo is saying, laughter is bad. Uksiv, uleschok amartim hulal. But then he says, I said, laughter is praiseworthy. So which one is it? Laughter is good, laughter is not good. Ksiv, V'shevachti ani esah simcha. Shomel says, I have praised simcha. Uksiv, ula simcha maza osa. And then he also says, simcha, joy, what good does it do? So we'll say, see, you see, Shomel seems to say, first his laughter is bad, then he says, laughter is good. Says, simcha is good, simcha is bad. So what's going on over here? Lo kashya, tov kas mischok. What's the reason Shomel says that anger is better than laughter? Tov kas, shekoi sakodish baruchu ala tzadikim ma'olam hazeh. It is better, the anger that God exhibits towards the righteous in this world is better, mischok shemesachek HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Rishayim ba'olam hazeh, is better than the laughter that God shows the wicked. I will say, which means what? Sometimes the wicked prosper in this world and the righteous suffer. The suffering of the righteous in this world is better than the joy, than the laughter that the wicked receive in this world. Because I will say what's happening over here is the righteous are receiving whatever kapara they need in this world. That's the anger. But ultimately, again, it sets them up for a beautiful afterlife. The wicked receive whatever reward they're going to receive in this world under the umbrella of divine laughter. But that's they receive their reward. And the afterlife, ultimately, again, will be the accounting for their misdeeds. Uleschok amarti mehulau. What is it when I said that laughter is good? Zeschok shemesachek HaKadosh Baruch Hu ima tzadikim ba'olam haba. That's the laughter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in with the righteous in the world to come. V'shibachti ani esah simcha. And ultimately, again, I praise simcha. That's simcha shal mitzvah. The Rebbe says, it's very interesting. Now, when you read this, you would assume simcha shal mitzvah refers to any joy exhibited in a mitzvah. Rashi points out something very interesting. Rashi says, simcha shal mitzvah, kigon hachnasas kala. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So the Marasha comments on this, and the Marasha says, simcha shal mitzvah, Rashi says over here, that kala, it means that sometimes a person dances in front of a chasen and kala, and sometimes it looks a little bit silly. It looks a little bit silly. That type of silliness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is okay with. The type of silliness, ultimately, again, that is an expression of the performance of a mitzvah, that type of silliness is okay. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is okay with. Now, the Gemara globalizes this with the simcha maza osa, zu simcha she'eno shal mitzvah. But ultimately, again, a joy that is worth nothing. This is joy that is not in the context of a mitzvah. And I will say, what this really refers to is frivolity. Joy that comes about in the context of a mitzvah, that's incredible. But joy that comes about from a frivolous nature, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no interest in. So silliness, or frivolity or lightheadedness, like we'll see. We'll say those are the things that really derail people from accomplishing great things. And we see this. You could spend a lifetime being frivolous, lightheaded, silly, and not accomplish anything. The simcha, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be the simcha, but he wants it to be meaningful simcha. He wants it to be a holy simcha. So we'll say the Shechina does not rest on a person if a person is sad. Shechina doesn't rest on a person if a person is lazy. Laughter, but that's frivolous laughter. Lightheadedness. Or just idle chatter. Or nonsensical things. When does the Shechina rest on a person? Rabbi say, when does the Shechina rest on a person? When a person is in a state of holy joy. Holy joy. That's the goal in life. If you could reach a state of holy joy, that's when the Shechina resides upon you. Rabbi say, Shene Emar, this is actually quite interesting, by the Nabi Elisha, Va'ata kechuli minagin, Va'ya kinagin ha-minagin, Va'ti aladi ala Hashem. Rabbi say, so the Nabi Elisha says, when he wanted the divine spirit to rest upon him, call me a musician. Shira. Call me a musician. Right, bring me a musician. Rabbi said, this is just an aside. You see the incredible power of music also. That music, Shira, has the ability to put a person in a state, not just of simcha, but of simcha shal mitzvah. So Rabbi said, this is an incredible, incredible yisod. That in order to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just enough to do the right things. A person has to be in the right state of mind. If I'm sad, if I'm depressed, if I'm angry, if I'm whatever. So we know this. We know this just from ourselves. There's no relationship with God under those circumstances. But if a person has a simcha shal mitzvah, now simcha shal mitzvah means two things. It means a state of simcha that ultimately comes from the performance of mitzvah, but it also means just getting myself into a state of happiness, getting myself into a state of joy. That's why, again, the music comes in. Elisha says, bring me music so I can lift my spirits, be in a state of joy. And that's ultimately, again, how I achieve a level of Dveikus Bashem. Both Rabbi Nachman said, mitzvah gedola lihios besimcha tamid. The need to go ahead and be in a state of simcha, ultimately, again, is a prerequisite for a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we'll just do a few more lines. The same idea, ultimately, again, is for a dvar halacha. We'll say, again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here that if you want to teach halacha, anytime you give a shir, you should start in a way that lightens the mood. Start with a tone of happiness. Rashi says over here, the dvar halacha, tzarech liftoach b'milei b'dibidichus b'reisha. Start with a joke. That ultimately, when you start with the shir, Nabo say, now remember, it means start with a joke. Don't constantly make jokes. Right? Those are two very different things. Some people constantly make jokes. That's called litzanus. The idea is, you go ahead and you start with a joke. Okay, lighten the mood. Sometimes you just have to give a little bit of simcha. And ultimately, so Nabo says, we'll expound this in just a moment. Rabbi says, so too with a good dream. We'll say, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. The chalom tov. In balishon mitoch simcha marin lo chalom tov. Rabbi says, if you go to sleep in a happy state, you'll have good dreams. You'll have good dreams. Rabbi says, this goes back to Mesechas Brachas. If you remember, again, we had a whole machlokes about dreams. So there was a school of thought that said, what are dreams? Dreams are just a subconscious manifestation of your consciousness. I don't know if that made sense, but wherever you're holding in life, that's what you're going to dream about. So in a bad place, you have bad dreams. You're in a good place, you're going to have good dreams. So the Gemara says, go to sleep in a good mood, you're going to have good dreams. Incredible. Ini, is this true? V'amrav gido, amrav kol tam t'chacham shoshet ne'rabo ve'insiv sosav no tfo smar te'chavena. Yet, we learn about it, it's incredible. Rav gido, in the name of Rav, any tam t'chacham, when he's hearing shir from his Rebbe, if his lips are not dripping with dread, he's going to Gehenna. I think it's very much like our shir, right? Mamash, I see a lot of dread over here, right? So we'll say, to anyone whose lips are, we don't pass in this way, right? But anytime you're sitting in a shir and your lips are not dripping with dread, you're going to Gehenna. It's an uplifting Gemara. Shenemar, sif sosav shoshanem no tfosmar. Rabbi, listen to this, because the Pasuk says, His lips are like roses, dripping myrrh. Atikri moreover, ella marover. Don't read it as dripping myrrh, which is like a fragrant item, but rather dripping with fear. So the Gemara says, so lo kasha, hab rabba, vahab talmud. Both say, so it could very well be that the student has to be in a constant state of trepidation, but the Rebbe has to give it over b'simcha. Both say, just to understand, the student's trepidation comes from a need to absorb the information and a want to absorb the information or retain the information in a correct fashion. Because if I hear information and I retain it incorrectly, that could chas v'shalom have so many negative repercussions. So it could be that the Talmud needs to be in a state of pensiveness, in a state of like, you know, almost like angst. But the Rebbe should go ahead and give it over b'simcha. Viba yisema, hava hava rabba. Both could be referring to the Rebbe. V'lo kasha, hami kameid the liftach, halabasar de pasach. We'll say it could be that the Rebbe, when he opens the shir, needs to do so in a happy, simchadik, maybe even open up with a joke to calm everyone down. But then after, again, the initial intro, then the Rebbe should teach Torah with incredible fear and trepidation. We say fear and trepidation, reflecting the awesomeness of the responsibility that the Rebbe has in the conveyance of Torah. Ki had the Rabba mikamei de pasich lul Rabbanon amar milsa de bidichusa. When Rabba would begin his shir, he would begin with a joke, right? Ubatchi Rabbanon, and the rabbis would laugh. So he would lighten the mood, right? Open up everybody's heart. We'll say a good joke gets people to be attentive. So he would begin with a little bit of laughter, but then afterwards, Lasof, Yosef Be'imso Pasach B'Shemaita. Then he would sit ultimately again with fear, and he would open up his learning. So we'll say, so it could very well be that the Rebbe needs to model this. Open up with a joke, a little bit light, something lighthearted to get everybody in the right frame of mind, the simchadik frame of mind. But then the Rebbe must recognize the awesome responsibility he has in the conveyance and transmission of Torah, and must do so biyira. Va'as sefer mishlei bikshuling nos. Suppose they sold to over here, they wanted to go ahead and hide away sefer mishlei. Why? Shahayu dvarim sosun zadza. Because we'll say mishlei has statements which contradict each other. So why didn't they hide away mishlei? Amri sefer kohelas lab einin va'ashkechin antayma. Hachanami la'einin. So we'll say, so the rabbi said, listen, we also wanted to hide away kohelas. But Baruch Hashem, we were able to examine it, look into it a little bit, and we were able to answer up the contradictions. So let's spend some time trying to look into the contradictions of Mishlei, answer those up as well. Now we don't have to hide it away. So it says the Gemara, Umay Dvar of Sosun says, what were the contradictions in Mishlei? On one hand, the Pasuk says, Ksiv Altan Ksil Kivato. It says, do not answer a fool in his foolishness. So we'll say, Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, if somebody says something foolish to you, don't answer him. Don't answer him. Uksiv anek silki valto. But yet another pasuk says that what? Answer a fool in his foolishness. Shabosei says the contradiction. Which one is it? When a fool tries to engage you, should you answer him or should you engage? Shabosei is very halacha lemaisa. This happens all the time in life. Right? Someone foolish tries to engage me. Should I engage or should I not engage? So Shlomo seems to make a contradiction. Lokasha, haba divrei Torah, haba mili da'alma. But it's not a contradiction. When the fool engages you in words of Torah, that's when you have an obligation ultimately to go ahead and what? Answer back. You should answer back because you should set the fool straight. If somebody's coming to you and trying to distort Torah or trying to go ahead and present something that's untrue, that's when you have an obligation to set the record straight. Again, obviously with COVID, with Derech Eretz, but you have an obligation to respond. But mili da'alma, if somebody just foolish just tries to engage you in just non-Torah things, sometimes it's just better to what? Let it go and not answer. It was this incredible story. Ki Yahud Asla Kameh de Rebbe. There was a guy who came before Rebbe. It was listen to what he said to Rebbe. Amar lei, ishtecha ishti, ubanecha banai. Let's say, can you imagine this chutzpah? He comes over to Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, by the way, just want to let you know, I was with your wife, and those kids, you ever wonder why they don't look so much like you? Right? That's because they're mine. Right? That's because they're mine. So the guy, let's say, can you imagine this? The guy comes over to Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, I just want to tell you that I had relations with your wife, and your kids are mine. So the Gemara says, Rebbe says, Amar lei, ritzon cha shetishtek kos yeshal yayin. So Rebbe says, would you like a glass of wine? The guy said, sure. They had a glass of wine, upaka, and the guy exploded. Okay, so I will say, so most of Haskell on this, well, I think there are many lessons. Most of them are pretty self-evident. Who the Asla Kamei the Rebbe? Rabbi Chia, we'll say, there was another guy who came before Rabbi Chia. Amar lei, imcha ishti v'ata banai. We'll say, Bini, listen to this crazy story. Kai comes to Rabbi Chia, he says to Rabbi Chia, by the way, just want to let you know, you're my kid. You're my kid. I'm here to restart a relationship with you. You're my kid. I had relations with your mother. You're my child. So Amar lei, Ratzon Chushet Dishtei Koshen Snu. So Rabbi Chia says, okay, you know what? Let's make a lechayim. So the guy says, sure. Shasa upaka. Ultimately, again, he drank the wine and he exploded. So we'll say, these are examples of, so we'll say, in each of these cases, Rebbe and Rabbi Chia, they could have gotten into it with these guys. But ultimately, again, they chose not to. A fool was engaging them with foolish banter. So they decided not to go ahead and ultimately engage. Now the truth is, repercussions for these individuals were very high over here, because Bosai, they were making very serious accusations. And remember, again, you know, Bosai, the challenge with accusations, and we know this, unfortunately, because we see it all the time. Once you make an accusation against someone, even if the accusation is unfounded, it's very hard for one to clear one's name and one's reputation. So ultimately, what is Rebbe going to say? No, you didn't have relations with my wife? No, my children are my children. What was Rebbe Chia going to say? No, you're not my father? So again, because these are great Talmidei Chachamim, and because these individuals ultimately exhibited such ridiculous chutzpah towards the Talmid Chacham, so the repercussions and the ramifications were swift and intense. We'll just do one more line. Am Rabbi Chia, ahani li tzalusa l'Rabbi, to l'shavi b'nei mamzeri. So what's Rabbi Chia says, you know, Rabbi's tefillah that he davened every day helped that his children should not be considered mamzerim, which Rabbi Chia means, you know, Rabbi composed the tefillah that we say to this very day, because Rabbi understood that sometimes some very brash and arrogant people could come and make accusations that could ruin people's lives. What did Rabbi say? Ultimately, again, Rabbi Davin, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me every day from Azepanim and from Azuspanim. Azepanim means brazen people, and save me from brazenness. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Me Azuspanim, Me Azepanim Sholi Azikeni. Don't let brazen people harm me. And may Azus Panim Shalo Yetse Alai Shemam Zerus Dehu Az Panim. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so Rabbi Davin every day, save me from brazen people. And we'll say, by the way, this Yiratzon, we have it. Right after Birchos HaShachar, there is this Yiratzon, right? Shetatzinayim B'chol Yom Me Azay Panim, Me Azus Panim, Me Adam Ra, Me Chavera, so on and so forth. This was the Tefillah of Rabbi. And we'll say, interestingly enough, the Marshal points out over here, that this Azus Panim idea, the Gemara says that if you know someone, or if a person exhibits a midah of brazenness, right, just like unadulterated chutzpah, that often is a simen that a person is a mamzer. Now, be careful how you apply this, right, and be careful how you use this, but lamaisa, one of the simonim of mamzeros is like unadulterated brazenness, that a person just who has chutzpah towards everyone. So that's what Rebbe was saying. She has, save me from azepanim. Because a lot of times people who make accusations about others, the Marashah says, are themselves, a lot of times we deflect, right? The accusations or the negativity that we often want to cast upon others are really the very flaws and negativity that we ourselves possess. So this was the tefillah of Rebbe. All right, Tabasai, we'll stop over here. But Emir, we're going to pick up here. I think tomorrow we're going to start Shir Emir Hashem at 5:45. I'll send it out on the WhatsApp, but I think that'll give us some time, Emir Hashem, to be able to go ahead and do the daf. So tomorrow, Bosai, another day. I feel like I delivered. I feel like I delivered the goods. I told you it was going to be an incredible daf. I feel like I came through. And we're going to see tomorrow, Bosai, incredible, incredible daf tomorrow. Hillel and Shammai, incredible nice. And we'll say, it really feels good to be able to do these gemaras leading up to Yom Tov. Just helps us give again and again the mode of a little bit of Simchas Yom Tov. We'll stop here. Shkoyach, wishing everyone an incredible day. Mincha this evening is at 7:25 p.m. Have a great day.